trouble. It's all over, just like that.
I wonder how Floyd feels being beat by a woman for once.
Ireland have achieved the unthinkable. They've defeated four times world champions New Zealand.
Holding on, O'Sullivan's got a drive for that line, but Gabriella Szabo's the Olympic champion. Sonia O'Sullivan is beaten on the line. What a fantastic final lap, but what a response from Sonia O'Sullivan.
A perfect 10.
Katie Taylor. Katie Taylor, champion of the champion of
Olympic champion. I've dreamed of this moment so many times before.
So, hi everybody, and welcome to Off the Bench. Off the Bench is a podcast about women in sport, and it's designed to educate and inform people of sports, people of fans of all kinds, all genders, all ages. Everybody is welcome to come and listen to it. And today we're in somewhere very different. Normally, I'm in a little cave. Using the Off the Ball studio down in the centre of Dublin City, but today we're actually out here at the Lidl headquarters in Talla in Dublin. And the reason for that is because we are launching their third partnership with the Ladies Gaelic Football Association and their national leagues. And they're just about to start a new season in the national leagues. And a new initiative from Lidl is that on every six-pack of water that they're selling this year, it'll have a special brand on it, and 10 cents of that six-pack will go directly to LGFA, as well as continuing the work that they've been doing in supporting clubs by applying through your local branch for equipment and jerseys for your clubs. So all of that work continues and will be expanded this year. We're joined on stage, and this is pretty unique. We've never had four athletes on off the bench at the one time before, so that's the first for today. To my left here, in order, we have Sinead Goldrick from the All-Ireland Champions Dublin, Sarah Rowe from the 2017 All-Ireland Runners-Up Mayo, Orla Farmer from the 2017 Division 1 National League Champions Cork. They've been winning it so long, we don't even have to say, nearly. And on the left is Roisin Friel from the All-Ireland Runners-Up Division 1 last year as well. That's a first, getting them all together on off the bench. And also, you're part of a first as well. This is the first time we've ever done a live broadcast. We're on Facebook Live. So let's hear it for welcome everybody to Off the Bench. We're going to start with a few images from the 2017 season, which I think are very telling and tell us a lot about the sport of ladies football and what it means. Paul, can we have the first one, please? So, Sinead Goldrick from Dublin, can you tell us who's in this photo and why is there such emotion in it?
That's Hannah O'Neill. So she's from my club, Fox Rock Aventeely. Hannah's 18 years of age, and I suppose this is her first year playing Dublin, stepping up, and she's a fantastic footballer. We train five times a week. We're in the car five times a week together. So there's a massive difference in age there, but I suppose I'd consider her one of my great friends, and I suppose you've been seeing her, watching her underage and her stepping up to senior team. She did an excellent pass to Sarah McCaffrey in the All-Ireland final. You know, she's a really player for the future. And I suppose I think that picture just captures the emotion that we had after that whistle went.
I interviewed you immediately after the All-Ireland final. You were sobbing. I've rarely seen a player with such emotion. Why? Tell people why it was so important for you to win that All-Ireland final.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, last time Dublin won was 2010. I was involved ever since, and we had a heartbreak. There were so many players that played. There was maybe 10 of us throughout that year, you know, that we kept losing. And
I suppose three finals in a row.
Yeah, and then before that, there was quarterfinals against Cork and Kerry, lost by 1 or 2 points. So I suppose for Dublin to get over the line and to win with that group of players is just a feeling that you'll never forget. So it was great.
And you've obviously all had some time off since, but did you get away for a little holiday?
Yeah, we went to Greece with the Dublin ladies, so it was a lot of fun.
Did everybody get to go?
Yeah, everyone who was available came. So I think there was maybe 39 of us. Some of the management had their family there, so it was really nice. We were all together. And then we had training that Friday after we came back, so I kind of think brought back everyone back to life. it was in Pathos. So yeah, we had a lot of fun over there, and then it was right back to kind of training on the Friday. So that was.
I bet that was fun that week. Yeah, exactly. Great. Okay, we'll come back to Sinead. Next photo. is one of my favourite photos from 2017. It's actually probably one of my favourite photos of all sports in 20. So we're going to ask, Sarah Rowe is in this picture, but you can't actually see her. So it's a very unusual photo, and we want Sarah to explain to you who is the girl holding the camera and why is she hugging Sarah so tightly?
So last year, this tall person graced the presence of DCU, Ashley Maloney down there in the crowd.
Who plays for Tipperary.
And I suppose we lived together in college in campus, and we became very close. Myself, Ashley, and another girl called Maren Atkinson plays for Monaghan. Ashley Sheridan plays for Cavan, Quivo Sullivan then, who plays for Kerry.
There's a house full of them in DCU. Can you imagine how much football gear is in that house?
On a Sunday evening, coming up to talk about a league game and talk about, what are you doing? No, what are you doing? So I suppose myself and Ashley had kind of, we spent a lot of time together during the summer. And
but is she a professional photographer?
She actually likes a good photo now and a night out, I must say. An Instagram queen.
But why does she have a camera on her hand in this
picture? So she went and she took a camera off one of the photographers that she knew, and she said, I suppose she saw me drop to the ground. Obviously, I was devastated. And I remember being down on the ground, and like Dublin players are coming over and saying hard luck and all that. And you're just kind of, you're going through the motions, and you have to do that. And I suppose then I felt someone kind of lift me up and like squeeze me really tight, and I didn't know who it was, but I knew it was someone that was important to me. So I kind of looked up, and then it was her, and then I was like, how did you manage to get onto the pitch? And then the whole story
and
came
then
out,
she confessed that she borrowed a camera from the photographer, from Anish. Tom Russell actually took this photo, and I think you borrowed, Aisling is here in the audience with us. Aisling borrowed a photo from him to get on the pitch. That's how you get around the Muirs in Croke Park, for future reference, okay? But isn't that a beautiful photo? Aisling has just won the Intermediate All-Ireland Final, so she's obviously in Croke Park as well, and one of her best friends then loses the senior final, and she gets onto the field to give her a hug. Actually, Paul, we might show the next photo, because I think that's probably just when you're approaching her as well. So it's a beautiful image of everything that's good, I think, about women's sport and about ladies' Gaelic football. Great. The next one then, we'll have the third one. So who's in this one then? Can you tell us, please, Cork's Orla Farmer?
Yes, so we have to the left, Shauna Kelly, Dearna Sullivan in the middle, and myself then on the right.
And when was that taken?
And that was after the All-Ireland in 2016.
Or was I have a feeling it could be. Is it the league final last year? It's actually the league final.
Or is it?
Is it the league final last year?
It is, yes.
Yeah, I see a Donegal jersey in the background.
I can't see my dress.
Yeah, my head's in the way. Yeah. So that's a picture of me after winning the league final. Come on, break it to us all. How many have you won?
Well, I have 7 myself, National Leagues.
Yeah, and that was that number 9 of?
2012, I think we lost as well.
And you've won the last 5 in a row.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you're winning like that all the time, people wonder, how do Cork keep the appetite? How do you stay loving winning that much? How does it mean that much to you still?
Yeah, I suppose I think we kind of motivate each other really as well, and you know, like, you can't be winning always, and there's only, you know, I've been grateful enough to be part of, a winning setup the last few years. But again, it kind of comes back to training, and it comes back to the bond, I suppose, we have with each other. And I think that kind of, you know, it's a domino effect then when it comes to games. I think just the respect we have for each other and the bond we have for each other certainly helps.
Yeah.
I suppose, you know, again, I'm just so grateful to be part of.
And that also was a very tight game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Tell us how it was won in the end.
I suppose, again, like, it's just, it's great. Like, and like, in fairness to Donegal, you know, they were fantastic as well in the final last year.
I think was it an Orla Cotter free at the end, won it, was it? I think it was.
So
it was that close. It was a 1-point game.
Yeah.
And so we'll look at the next photo then, Paul. Thanks. And this is a photo of Roisin. But Roisin, that's not from the Division 1 final last year. That's from the Division 2 final the year before, I think. And that is from Donegal winning Division 2 the year before.
Yeah, a bit West Meath.
Yeah. And then you went straight from winning Division 1 to getting to the final of Division 1, from going from Division 2 final to Division 1 final within one season. That's phenomenal. How did you do that?
Hard work, I suppose. No, I don't know. I suppose the divisions now, there's not as big a difference, I think, as what's, you know, brilliant now. Like, you look at, like, Armagh in Division 2 and Cavan, teams like that, Tipperary.
Yeah.
I mean, we came up, we were kind of at a high standard, and then we were playing, I suppose, last year, like, it was all top teams in that division. Like, and
yeah, and Westmead won it last year, have gone up Division 1. And yep. Again, there have been replays in the finals of Division 2, Division 3, Division 1 and a couple of years ago as well. The standard, Sinead, would you see that it's levelling off hugely?
Yeah.
Top two divisions particularly.
Definitely. I think, you know, if you look at the league last year, I think between Donegal and Cork was one of the best games in terms of the skill level in the forward line. It was ping pong. They were doing great scores. And then, you know, there was two different teams in the championship final. So I think that really kind of highlights that within the senior setup, like, so like any team really can get there. And definitely, you know, Tipperary coming up this year after winning intermediate. It's just great to see the standard that different teams are stepping up the whole time.
And that discussion on the standard of ladies football and the All-Ireland final last year, actually, on we have our own Twitter account for Off the Bench. It's at Off the Bench, capital N, capital T. And our logo now at the moment, our little profile picture is a screenshot of the audience in Croke Park last year. So it says 46,286. That's what's on it. That's what you'll recognise on it. Mm-hmm. So the big question, I think, as we go into a new Lidl National League season, Sarah, is we got a massive crowd in Croke Park for the All-Ireland final, a record all around the world last year for a women's team game. But how do we get more people to go to the Lidl National League games, and how do we increase your audience even more? Any ideas?
Well, I think doing the double headers with a lot of the teams this year is going to help massively, and the Dubs having two games in Croke Park, is it, for the league? Mm-hmm. So I think games like that, people will come and they'll watch the ladies' game before, and then they'll say, hopefully it's not a bad standard. And obviously,
it's a good standard.
Like, you know, the standards have improved an awful lot in the last few years, and there is a much higher skill level than there was in previous years. And there's the girls, I think in general, the teams seem to be a lot fitter as well. So things are definitely improving in terms of the standards. So I think if people go to the double headers and they see that it's actually a good game to watch, that they'll continue to be like, okay, we might go out and watch another league game that's not a doubleheader. But the more doubleheaders, the better.
Yeah. There are eight, for the first time ever, there are eight doubleheaders in this year's league. Dublin have two in Croke Park. You had the very first one with the men's last year during last year's league. Mayo have one.
You've won in Galway and you've
won at home. And Cork, you're playing Dublin in Croker. That's going to be a big one as well. Yeah. And also in Division 2, Armagh, Tyrone and Cavan also have double headers with their men's. And the idea is that this will bring a bigger audience in to look at league games. Because it's brilliant to have, obviously, isn't it? Orla, over 46,000 at an All-Ireland final. Yeah. But what are the crowds like at your normal league games?
Well, I suppose, again, they're improving each year. But actually, as Sarah was saying as well, you know, in terms of promoting, I suppose, women, really trying to get women to support women, I think is a big thing. And, you know, I think it wouldn't be a bad idea also to even go back to the clubs, even at underage, and even try and encourage, you know, even if they could get a bus to the games, or even organise, you know, little mini games at half time. Like, that would be a big incentive as well. And I think girls would actually enjoy that. You know, if they had that opportunity to go to games to support their local heroes or whatever. But I just think that, you know, even something as simple as that could actually be very effective as well.
Roisin, I see you nodding there.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. Like, getting younger girls involved as well. Like, I mean, it's, you know, when it becomes a natural thing at that age, you just continue it on. And especially getting women behind us is a big thing. We haven't had, you don't see it as often. Like, women are more inclined to go and support men and just think, yeah, I'm supporting the county, like, but they don't realise that we have games
on. And do you still see that's something we have to get more women to go and follow women's sport?
Oh, definitely. Like, I have the lucky opportunity of, when I'm in the store, you get chatting to people about football a lot, and you're in the store and you hear, like, people going, oh yeah, I'm taking the kids up to watch the men play here, there, wherever it may be, and then they don't ever say, oh, I'm going to the ladies' game. But it has changed now over the past couple of years.
We should point out, Roisin works for Lidl. She's a store manager in Donegal Town, is it?
In Donegal Town.
So you're hearing on the ground what people are saying, which is very interesting.
Big change, it definitely has been. Like, I've noticed it in the store. Like, people are more inclined to come in and talk to you about
you know, football and what's happening and who's involved and, you know, what are these teams like? You're meeting, you know, Dublin now at the weekend. What are they like or who's there for them and stuff? And it just, even like younger years coming into the sort, like it's, we're so much more accessible, I think, to them than they realise. And maybe compared to the men, like, you know, I suppose Michael Murphy being the only one because he's a sports star, you can walk in there and see him any given
day. Michael Murphy has a sports star in Donegal. Everybody who walks in there sees him.
And sees him, but makes a big difference that you can, like, after ladies games, it's very easy to get access to any of us as players. Like, I think, well, I think so anyway.
And it's one of the things we talk about on the podcast is that actually female players are more accessible to the media more than men nowadays. So actually there's a great opportunity for you to get more publicity. Mm-hmm. Sinead here has a very interesting background. Who do you work for at the moment?
Vodafone.
Right. But you worked for...
Sorry.
You worked for... she wasn't expecting that. But you did work for a PR company who were interested in promoting sport, weren't you?
I used to work in Teneo PSG sports sponsorship. So I think it is important and I think parents make a massive choice. I do definitely agree that women should support women, but I'd also encourage, you know, men to support women too. I think, you know, we can't just focus on, you know, it's a girls' sport, we need women out there. I think you need both codes to respect it. I think the game is at a standard and a level that it can be for both men and women to enjoy it. I think parents play a crucial role in bringing their daughters and also their sons to our games. And I think that, you know, a lot of people in attendance in the All-Ireland final and championship were both men and female and kids. And they kind of, I think from what I've heard is that they valued the game and the skill set that was there. So I think it's important for, you know, I suppose, you know, Ireland and society to support both women's sport.
It's interesting. I mean, you've played in All-Ireland. What was it like to run out and see the size of that crowd? And it was the first time they'd opened the top deck in Croke Park for a women's final, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did you notice it?
I actually did in the crowd because I suppose there was one thing going into the game. I kind of wanted to enjoy the moment, you know, and be present. And I remember looking up at the top tier and a lot of players say the same thing. You know, you could see the different crowd there. And it kind of, I remember I just looked up and I saw it and you got a really kind of shock, and then, you know, when the final whistle goes you don't think about it. But that was a proud moment for the sport and kind of the work that Lidl and LGFA have done to promote the game. You know, it was a double header, like the men's had played Mayo and, you know, that was an excellent game. And I think, you know, the All-Ireland ladies final was a good game, I suppose, from a spectator point of view.
Yeah. And Sarah, you played in an All-Ireland final before, over 46,000 last year as well. Did you notice the crowd when it came out? And does it affect the players?
Yeah, completely. I think for us now in Mayo, there's an era of players who've played in numerous All-Ireland finals, but there was a lot of young girls on the team who had probably only played in Croke Park once before, and that was for that league game against Dublin. So it was a massive shock, I suppose, to the system. And the older girls had prepared us for the sound and, like, you know, taking in the moment and enjoying everything. And I suppose walking out to the pitch and looking up to the upper tier, it was kind of like, it was breathtaking for someone like me, I suppose, who's dreamed of doing that all my life and dreamed of playing in Croke Park on All-Ireland final day. So it was, I suppose, as well, the girls tried to prepare you for the noise and you're on the pitch. And normally at a ladies' football game, if someone shouts you over there and says, over there, you can hear it.
You usually know them by name.
You couldn't hear anything. And I suppose it was kind of like you'd hear people's mouth, you could see people's mouth moving, but you couldn't hear what they're saying. So you're not prepared for that aspect of it. Yeah. And I suppose that comes with experience. And I suppose we didn't have that much experience bar the likes of Yvonne Corr and Martha and Fiona McHale. Other than that, I think there was maybe Sarah Tierney as well, who had played in Croke Park before that. So it was a massive shock, but it was a really good feeling. I suppose there was an awful lot of adrenaline and it was great to be involved in that. Great to be involved that day, but I suppose it's not the same, obviously, when you don't get the result.
And Orla, I mean, you've played in several All-Irelands at this stage. How much does a crowd and how much does it matter that people go and watch you?
Oh, it's great. I mean, like when you, as the girls are saying, when you look up at the crowd, you know, even just for that split second, you're in awe, you know, and at the same time, you're trying to concentrate on the warm up. But then, you know, you have to take it in as well and you appreciate it. And it's great to have the support there. Pity it wasn't like that for every game. But, you know, I suppose you do have to appreciate those moments as well. And hopefully things will get better again. And for the double headers as well, that, you know, having, you know, extra people and having a bigger crowd as well is a positive thing going forward as well. So
and and you're part of a legendary Cork team that have won 10, how many All-Irelands is it? 10 of 11, I think, out of 11.
Yeah.
Have you ever played in Cork's main GAA ground, Páirc Uí Chaoimh?
I've never played there, no.
No.
Trained there maybe twice ever. Right.
And what about, hands up, how many of you have played in your county grounds for your county senior team? Have you all done that at this stage? Yeah. Roisin, have you?
I'm not sure.
In Ballybuffet?
We have. We definitely had underage finals in Ballybuffet.
Yeah,
as
but
well,
as senior teams?
Senior teams, I think so. Yeah. I can't remember.
Because again, that's important for you. I mean, or is it important? Maybe it's not important at all, Roisin, that you play in Ballybuffet and you play in the county ground. Does it matter? Some of us get quite strung out about it and say, oh, they should be playing in their county grounds. Why aren't Cork playing in Páirc Uí Chaoimh every week? They should be there. But does it bother you as players?
I don't know, for me, like, you just want to be playing on the best pitch, more so than anything. Like, but again, I suppose it's because of the aspect, we're not used to having a big crowd, so maybe that's why we don't think about it as much. Well, for me, to say, but it would be nice to know that you're coming into McCool Park and it's a big day out. Like, I know in Donegal, when Donegal played her own, the whole of Ballybuffet shuts down nearly, but...
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, it would be a nice aspect to think that even the ladies, there'll be a bit of a buzz about the place, and there's, you know...
And have you played in Ulster Finals, which were played before the men's Ulster Final in Clonus ever, no? Because that has happened in Ulster in recent years as well. And again, a crowd has come in for the men's game early and then seen a few crackers. Carolyn O'Hanlon is here from Armagh, one of these stars for Armagh. And you've played, Carolyn, haven't you, in Clonus when there's been a really big crowd in because it's been a doubleheader as well. And you had a thriller there one year, I remember. I think it was decided by last minute score. So visibility, is it important? Lidl sponsorship, I remember the day Lidl, the first launch of the Lidl sponsorship being in Croke Park at it, and I was coming down in the lift afterwards, and it was a classic Irish situation. Two women were in the lift and one of them was going out, they're great with their big fancy lunch and giving us free things, but what are they going to do for us down at club level when we're trying to get a pitch and trying to find gear? Sinead, do you think the Lidl sponsorship has trickled down to the players and to clubs?
Yeah, I think so. I know, like, at grassroots level, I suppose our club, this is just an example of kind of support that they've shown. Yeah, our clubhouse, it got burnt down over Christmas, and loads of the gear was gone for our club, and that was the underage teams, and Lidl came and gave us loads of balls and footballs, and something that at club level, you know what I mean, that's invaluable. So that was definitely something that was brilliant. I think within, I suppose, you can see the difference at the games. I think Lidl and the advert that they showed, you know, it kind of caught people's attention. And, you know, maybe that made them more interested in the profile. So I definitely think the profile has risen in terms of support they've shown. And yeah, I think it's brilliant. It's been 3 years and I don't know, would it be here at the same level without the investment that they gave in to grassroots and also to the county teams?
Yeah, anybody else feel that it's trickled down to your club or Orla?
Yeah, no, I think, as Sinead was saying, like, the whole grassroots setup, I think, like, it does have to start at the bottom and make its way up as well. But again, like, it just in terms of raising the profile, you know, we've even players, and not just at a county level, but also at a club level, giving girls the opportunity, you know, recognising girls at a club level is just as important as, you know, an elite athlete. So I do think they've done phenomenal work, even in terms of advertising as well. And it's a great step forward as well for ladies football.
Roisin, in stores, they have a notice board, I think, where you can put up your fixtures coming up, can't you?
Yeah, we do, down just behind the tills anyway, in my store. But yeah, we do have that. And it's good to get, there's a couple of clubs around Donegal Town where we are, and just having their games up, like, somebody will go, oh, geez, that's on, I might head to it, kind of thing. Like, but it, no, definitely, like, when you're staying involved in the community, it has made a difference from, I suppose, my own aspect, when you're inside in the store and you realise that there's money going to a club and they're getting gear and things like that.
And that's the practical effect of it. If the six-pack of, I'm looking at the water here, Carrickglen water, now 10 cents of every six-pack of that goes to the LGFA, hopefully... That will trickle down, because if you apply in club stores for equipment for your club and jerseys for your club, that money, that's where it's going. So there is a practical effect there. Mm-hmm. Just before, because we're starting, next weekend is the start of the National League. Can you all give us a rundown, without giving away too many secrets, on where you are in terms of personnel for the season and whether there's been any changes or you've lost any players or management or whatever? We start with you, Sinead.
Yeah, we have like a few players coming back. Siobhan McGrath, who's a Dublin legend, which is a real boost for our team. We have Lucy Collins, a few of the girls who went on J1s last year. Lucy Collins, Mairn Scanlon, Emma McDonough from my club team. And there's definitely a few minors stepping up. Rachel Ruddy's gone travelling, so that's a massive loss within our team. And as a management perspective, we have Paul Casey, who's a former Dublin footballer, joining our backroom staff. So, you know, it's really positive. We're playing Donegal this Sunday. I can
get the digs in later.
We already were before. I suppose the first game, you're going to see what standard you're at. And then we have Westmeath and then Cork. So it's just time will tell, I suppose.
We'll see if there's any after effects of that trip to Greece.
And
Sarah, what about Mayo?
I think Mayo this year is Mayo of change. I suppose we have new management in at the minute, Peter Leahy down there at the back.
Peter's here with us. Welcome, Peter.
And then we have a fellow in with them, Mick Reynolds, and then we've a previous Mayo player, Denise McDonough, who would have played cornerback a few years ago and won All-Ireland herself. And we have a young guy in Cian, who's our strength and conditioning coach. So we've completely new background team, and it's very different to what it was last year. And
what about
the
players?
2 years previous? And that's the big question, I suppose, that everyone wants to know here. But we don't know about players. Obviously, we've most of our players back, bar I suppose Cora, Yvonne, and Martha, and I said we don't really
the Holy Trinity we call them in Mayo,
the trio, and we don't really know what their decision is yet. And I suppose we're going to go on and we're going to work hard and get new players in and kind of develop all the new players of Mayo and try kind of push on with that. And if they come back, it's a bonus, great.
And an exciting year then for you, new management, lots of new players in.
Yeah, it's different to what it's ever been before, so look forward to kind of, I suppose, progressing. And I played with all these girls underage before, and obviously them three girls are a big loss, but who's to say they won't be back yet.
And you have your first home game in McHale Park?
No.
Or do you have a home game with them? Do you have a double header?
Yeah, with the Dubs and then with Galway as well.
Oh, it's in Galway.
We're playing Westmeath on Sunday, so it's Peter's
They're just up. They're Division 2 last year, and they're coming up this year, so that's going to be an interesting opener.
So a bit of rivalry there. I suppose we played them a few times in Championship as well, and we've only marginally beaten them, so Sunday will show a lot, and I suppose we need to get to see players and try our best.
Great. Orla, what about you? I think you're a little bit like Mayo in that you're going to have a little bit of transition this year, and we might see some new players.
Well, in terms of management, we're pretty much the same. Just have a new selector in as well, Dermot Vaughan from Cork in with us as well this year.
Ethie Fitzgerald, your manager, is with us as well.
He's in the audience there now, I'd say, looking up at me somewhere. no doubt. Just in relation then to the players, again, like, there's a few girls trialling out. Nothing is set in stone yet. Not sure yet about some of the older girls. Again, I've no answers for it. But it's good.
Breed stacked. There'll be a few Cork legends. Yeah. Are going to wait and see. Will they come back?
Yeah, so it's just a matter of time, really.
And very often with older players, they may not necessarily come back for the early stages of the league, but they may be back depending later on as well.
So and then we just have a few girls as well, the younger girls coming in. So yeah, I suppose you could say we're in a transition as well. But I suppose it's good. And I suppose
you're the defending champions. You're not going to give that up easy.
But it's good as well to bring a bit of youth into the team and trial out as well. And
is, it a, is it a five or a six in a row?
Six.
You've won five in a row and you were looking for a six this
in a row.
Division one. Right.
Yeah.
Wow, that's some record.
Yeah.
Roisin, what about Donegal? As I said, you made this unbelievable transition really, really very quickly. You won an Intermediate All-Ireland in 2010.
Yeah.
And look where you are now. And you made, as I said, it really gave Cork a really tough game in the final last year in Division One. Have you had changes?
We have changes in management level. We've Maxi Curran now involved with us, so him and Damien from last year, Damien Devaney's still with us, so it's a bit of a change for us. We're a lot more professional than we're used to. but a big change. And
when you say professional now, what do you mean? Do you mean they're working you really, really hard?
No, just more organised than we had been before, maybe. I suppose you've seen with your guys' documentary how organised Dublin were, and you know, as I was saying, we thought we were organised, and when you watch that, you're like, Jesus, no, we weren't that training that well.
That's because they have a statistician that knows the size of every pitch in
Ireland. No, we're definitely moving in the right direction. Like, Maxi has experience with the men's teams.
He has, very experienced.
Like, the high-performing men's teams.
And have you lost any players or got any players back?
No, we haven't lost any, thank God. Nobody left. We've kind of stuck around now.
You still have your amazing Yvonne and
the two superstars.
The two superstars up in the front row. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we do, yeah. Jernan's just recovering now. She'll be back in a couple of weeks from
Jordan McLaughlin. She's had a knee surgery.
She had knee, yeah.
Small knee surgery, I think. Not
too
serious.
Stuff for Jernan, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing knocks Jernan out so easily. And it's interesting. Just, Sinead, what was the reaction to, if anybody hasn't seen this brilliant video that was followed their All-Ireland Blues sisters, I don't know whether you've all seen it, what was the reaction to it?
Yeah, I think positive. I think, I suppose, a lot of people, it kind of showcased the game and the professionalism, I suppose, that's involved, the commitment, the training, and that all county teams are doing. You know, that was Dublin's story, I suppose, and every team here has that. So it was, I think, a good insight to kind of promote the sport and to promote ladies' skating football. And a lot of people, even in work who I hadn't spoken to, came up just saying they were crying watching it and stuff.
Yeah, but they were Dublin fans.
Yeah,
they were very emotional.
Yeah, and like that they'll get their, like, they want to get their daughter involved. So that was kind of what our goal, or what we wanted to do. It was risky, but hopefully that will encourage more people.
I mean, a lot of people said, wow, they gave them amazing access. And Pat Comer, the maker, he followed you for basically a season. Did at any point, did you say, hold on now, you're looking at too much, we don't want people to see this? How did you decide beforehand even?
Yeah, like a group, management brought in maybe a group of the senior players, asked their opinion, and then we had a team players meeting just with the players, and we said if one person didn't want to do it, we weren't going to do it. So as a team, we decided, and the reason behind that was to promote the sport. You know, I don't think we're at a standard, the men's team are at the moment, in terms of, you know, they don't get that much access, but at ladies skating football, I think it really gave an opportunity and a platform to people to kind of enjoy a journey. And that was the reason behind it. At the time, we'd lost to Cork in the league semi-final, so I suppose we weren't in a very strong position, so it was a huge risk for us to take it, and thankfully we got the fairy tale ending at it.
You did get the fairy tale ending and that great
that
yeah.
But like,
thank God you won.
Yeah, thank God we won, because we wouldn't, this girl beside me wouldn't be very nice. Thankfully that we just won, but I suppose you didn't really get, like, you didn't notice it, you know, when you're going to championship
game, it wasn't
game.
Obtrusive in any way.
Yeah, and like Pat and all kind of became part of our team. You know, he'd chat to us and stuff like that.
And so, he's a former All Ireland winning footballer with Galway, so he understood. Yeah,
he never felt that, like, they were intruding, and you know, they definitely didn't show all of our secrets or anything like that.
I was wondering, Sarah, were you studying that very closely?
Yeah, you know, there was a few moments, you know, that not as PG was shown there, but you know, I think overall it's something that we're proud to be part of.
Sarah, you actually put your head above the parapet about 2 years ago and did a big interview with the Sunday Independent, and in it they were asking you, because Sarah's a really good soccer player as well, she played with Ireland and she also won an FAI Cup with, was it Shelburne? A couple years ago, but she's playing Gaelic, she's concentrated on Gaelic now. But in the course of that interview, you were talking about the comparison between how you were treated as an international soccer player and as a Mayo footballer, and you were quite critical. And I wondered two things. One, did you get much flack for what you said? And number two, did it actually improve your support systems and what happens around the team and how well you're supported?
Yeah, I think at the start, there's always going to be people that are going to disagree with what you have to say, but sometimes, I suppose, if you don't ask for things, you're never going to receive. So I probably did put my head above the carpet a small bit and kind of went for something I believed in. I suppose, like, 2 or 3 years ago, I would have said the soccer was way ahead of the GAA and you got treated very well. You'd go away on a training camp to Spain and you'd be training like a professional setup, and that was very enjoyable and something I thrived off. And I looked at the GAA and I didn't see as much progression in what I saw in the soccer. But now I have a completely different opinion on it. And I think that Lidl have done an awful lot for the sport in the last 3 years. There's been a massive change and I don't think they can be thanked enough. And I think that what we used to have in soccer is probably gone back the way it seems to be slipping a small bit. And obviously the FAI and, you know, the senior women have pushed for, like, funds after games. And
it's important for women to speak out, isn't it? Look at what happened even with that FAI, with the women coming together last year. Am I right in thinking you used to get hot meals after training before you spoke out.
Yeah, no, that's, things have improved an awful lot in Mayo, but they haven't improved in every county. That's the only thing I will say. And we've pushed for standards to be improved, and we've done an awful lot of fundraising ourselves as well. Like, there can be still more improvements made in terms of government funding and all that. And like this year with our food, we're making it ourselves because it'll save money for something else. So you'd like to think that we'd have enough money to be able to do all them things. So if one thing is kind of falling down the ranks, we have to prioritise our money, I suppose. But it definitely has improved an awful lot in the last few years.
And Orla, over the years then, with Cork, did you used to always bring or made your own food? Am I right in thinking that
as well?
Well,
we had a personal chef there for a few years, Frank Eunan.
That's right, one of your selectors.
And his famous soup, his vegetable soup that he used to cook, bring to training.
Handmade for
prepare
them.
On the Saturday and bring to training on the Sunday with the homemade bread and the jam and the whole lot. But yeah, no, like, you know, as Sarah was saying there as well, like, I think it comes back to the players, like, and if you don't ask, you won't receive. And in fairness to the WGPA as well, they're doing a lot of work in terms of player profile and getting the supports there. And there is government funding, you know, for things like, obviously nutrition isn't an aspect of it, but, you know, in terms of recovery and strength and conditioning and stuff, so it is getting better. But in terms of food, like, you know, I'm only speaking on behalf of Cork, but like as Sarah was saying there as well, this is not the case in every county, and it should be.
Yeah.
It should be, you know, especially things like nutrition that have such an important influence on your performance as well. It should be part of it.
And before we finish, can you talk to us a little bit about your work? You're doing, you're a PE teacher, but you're actually on secondment to try and finish a PhD at the moment, which sounds very fancy. But what's the PhD on? And tell us a little bit about it.
So I'm doing my PhD in UCC, and it's focusing on girls' participation in physical activity. And I'm working with the Gaelic for Girls programme. Some of you might be familiar with the programme. Basically, the whole aim behind it, it's for 8 to 12-year-old girls. And the whole aim is to try and increase the girls' participation in sport and physical activity, but also improve their skill level, so fundamental movement skills, so basic skills, and also improve the enjoyment aspect and the self-confidence and self-esteem.
Because all the research tells us that, first of all, 1 in 2 girls drops out of sport by the time she's 13. Lidl did some research last year. That was one of the shocking things. But it comes up time and time again on off the bench when we look at international research. This comes up all the time. Mm. A lot of the reason they drop out is, you have found one of them, and the one I've noticed as well is they say they don't have the skills. They're not confident playing. They're not confident in mixed situation or even sometimes with other girls because they haven't got the basic skills. Yeah. And so they drop out because they feel they're not good enough. So what have you found in your research?
Well, in relation to the skills, so like this whole concept of fundamental movement skills, so basic skills like running, skipping, hopping, jumping, like what the research is saying is that, you know, if girls and boys are proficient and they're confident at performing these skills, like skills that kids should have mastered by the age of 10 years, and that's not happening, that they're more likely to stay involved in sport and physical activity. So the problem is, what I have found from my research in terms of skills is that there are low proficiency levels amongst girls. I think it was only like 2% of the girls that I assessed actually were proficient at all of the 7 skills that I assessed.
You had about 150 or 100 and some.
Yeah,
some
250.
Like
yeah.
Yeah, and she tested them physically with 7 basic skills like throwing, jumping, all of those basic what we call
relative
fundamental
to ladies football.
Relative to ladies football, and only was it two percent of them had all 7 skills. That's an incredibly worrying statistic.
Oh, it
really
is worrying, yeah. And especially when there's so much research, like nationally and internationally, in terms of like physical activity and health, there's a direct link there, and it has been proven. So, and it kind of makes sense because, you know, if you're a young girl or a young boy and you're not confident about, you know, even kicking, or like you're not really going to want to go back and do it again if you're not confident. So that was the whole idea behind the dance, and that was part of my research. That
so you the most unusual combination: Gaelic football, Ed Sheeran, and Irish dancing. Nobody, who would have thought you could put the three of those things together?
I was in the car one day and Ed Sheeran came on, and I just got this idea. I was like, geez, why not do a dance? I was like, girls love to dance. And I was like, it's a perfect way to promote skills and self-confidence. And girls, also what I found from my research is girls like that social kind of friendship aspect as opposed to boys. Boys are more about the competitiveness. Girls, it's all about fun and friendship. So I said, why not try and do something to promote friendship, fun, skills, and ladies football all in the one.
And
showing the Irish dancing.
Yeah.
But it worked really, really well. And it is something I think that, you know, could be taken in, even into schools or other initiatives going forward as well.
And when you asked them, when you asked why did they give up sport, what was the, what were the key things that, that the reasons they gave up for giving up sport?
So the biggest barrier that I found was lack of enjoyment. And it's kind of ironic because the biggest motivator is fun. And then on the other hand, the barrier is lack of enjoyment. So things like, you know, training is too structured, you know, coaches might have been too strict, it was a bit too competitive. And also another kind of key element was body image, kind of, and things like that. Girls can be sensitive to body image and also the environmental change. So when they're going from primary school to secondary school, yeah, you know, there's added pressures.
Yeah, really important time in girls' lives, yeah, when their bodies change.
And it does have an influence on, you know, your participation in sport. But I do think, you know, coming back to the club setup, like, it is important for coaches to bring that fun element. And I think some coaches miss out, you know, on that. And like, obviously, want to win games and stuff.
That was something they said to you. I mean, they actually said, they, you know, our coach only wants us to win, and if we don't win, he gives out to us, or they, or she gives out to us, they give out to us. It's not fun when they give out to us. It's one of the key things.
When there's evidence, like, there's evidence out there, like, it's scientifically proven. There's evidence based there that this is what girls are saying. So I think, you know, if you look at those findings and kind of think outside the box, how can you try and promote fun, you know, in a way that it's promoting the skills of ladies football as well.
And if they're confident, they'll have fun, and if they have the skills, they'll be confident. So it's almost like a domino effect.
Yeah, and why not give, you know, why not give girls, every girl and boy should have like a positive experience of their own national sport in Ireland. You know, it should be something positive. It shouldn't be something where, you know, like, oh, I can't solo the ball properly. Like, it shouldn't be about that. It should be about participation and enjoyment. And like, it's kind of like a business. You know, you go into a hotel, and if you get a good service, you're more than likely going to come back to that hotel to eat again. It's the exact same thing with training. You know, like, if they're going to feel good about themselves, then they're more than likely going to want to come back training and enjoy it. So it kind of has that effect.
Liam Griffin, the great hurling coach in Wexford, who led them to an All-Ireland, he told me once that whenever he was coaching the under-8s and the under-10s, that he used to move them all around in training, different positions, and he made sure that whatever the system was, everybody had scored a goal before they went home. Didn't matter what position they were playing in, everybody had scored a goal. And that's a really important message. Yeah. And also a lot of studies that we do on women in sport and coaching, they say when you're coaching girls, particularly more than young boys, give them 5 minutes at the start to chat. And it's a really interesting thing because it supports exactly what Orla's research has found, which is that it's a social context. They want to have the social thing. Give them the social thing, and then they're ready to do the work. Because all of these people here do extraordinary work and hard work and have extraordinary skills, but they don't learn that unless the environment helps them to learn that. And sometimes I think people forget that with girls. It's a really interesting point, and it's a brilliant piece of research. Well, you better tell us, Orla, when is the PhD to be finished?
Well, all going well, hopefully maybe the end of next year, yeah. So
the end of next
maybe
year.
I'm being a bit too optimistic, but look, you have to...
PhD in All-Ireland, can you fit all that in one year?
Look, busy people make time for things.
Exactly. And we have a lot of them up here on stage today. Finally, we're here, obviously, at the third year of Lidl's sponsorship with the Ladies Gaelic Football and the National Leagues, and they're starting. Everybody's really excited. I think that this new season is a really promising one because last year, at least two of the divisions were incredibly close. Division 1 and 2 were incredibly close. Anything can happen in these divisions. But we thought, because of the sponsor, we should ask you a relevant question as well. So, if there was a supermarket sweep and they had that competition where you get a trolley, you get, you know, 2 minutes, you fill as much into it as possible, and you can bring it back for your team. We were kind of curious as who would you nominate from your team to go in supermarket sweep for the Lidl National League and why? And we're going to start, if there was a rematch here of the All-Ireland Final in supermarket sweep, right? Sinead, who would you nominate for Dublin and why?
I think I'd nominate Sinead Finnegan.
Fine.
And because she'd go to the drinks aisle.
Non-alcoholic, I'm sure.
But
vouchers don't work on the drinks.
No, I'm joking. No, I think it would probably be, who would it be? Let me think.
Does it have to be somebody fast or somebody really smart?
Actually, Noelle Healy. I'd actually pick Noelle Healy because she's so fast and I suppose she's very knowledgeable in terms of what food would be good for nutrition.
That's right. She's a doctor. She knows all these things. Exactly. Sarah, what about Mayo? I think you'd have a go yourself.
Yeah, I actually think I would, yeah. I think I do my shopping there every Sunday evening, so I know where everything is at this stage, and I would be very quick at doing it. Might bring Ashley Maloney along with me. I'd say myself and Orla Conlon would do a good job. She's our wing back for Mayo. The two of us love to go out for food and socialise, so we know exactly what we need to eat.
Excellent. What about you? A rematch of last year's Division 1 final. Okay, Orla, what about you? Who's going to go for Cork?
I probably would nominate, just for the laugh, Áine Terry O'Sullivan, because she's just a scream. And I think, do you know what? She'd surprise you. You'd never know what she'd put in the trolley. So, yeah, I'd nominate Áine Terry.
And Rosh, what about Donegal?
Well, I'm a bit of an advantage myself, I think, if I went around the store, you know.
I was thinking that.
But if I had to pick one of the Lugers, I'd definitely pick Niamh Hegarty, because she gets, we would say, a wild seer in Donegal. She just goes like mad. So I would love to see her run around wrecking the place. It would be great for a wee change.
Yeah, I figured if you were doing it, you could actually have all the products placed exactly where you want them, and you could whiz around and you'd get them all in exactly.
I would need to place them. They're always in the same place, so I'm safe enough.
Yeah, you could move everything around. Well, I don't know. But if you've got Dancing with the Stars and you've got Ireland's Fittest Family, I think that I would watch definitely Supermarket Sweep with Gaelic Ladies, Gaelic Football. I think it could be a great TV programme. Okay, guys, look, thanks so much for joining us. It's a real privilege for us to have four of Ireland's top ladies footballers on stage with us for Off the Bench. It's one of the things we talk about a lot on Off the Bench. The format usually is an interview, and then we have a discussion, or as we like to call it, a rant. And we always talk about how important it is that we all give all this lip service to women's sport, but how many of us actually go out and go to matches, go to games, go to watch female athletes when they're competing? Why? How many of us make the choice to go to a women's game before a men's game? You know, and it's a really serious question, and it's a really interesting point that some of you made about, you know, as parents as well, do we make this decision, you know, and do we educate our children to go and watch men and women play sport? Because for sport to progress and for women to get sponsorship and to get viewership and to get TV coverage, the numbers have to be there. So 46,000 is fantastic at the All-Ireland Final, but what we'd really like to see on Off the Bench certainly is really a substantial increases in the number of people who go to league matches. The league finals every year are always played in Parnell Park, and I'd love to see, wouldn't it be fantastic to see Park, because it's a gorgeous venue in Dublin, wouldn't it be great to see that full for the end of the year. All our previous editions for Off the Bench, if anybody's looking for them, you can get us on iTunes or also on the offtheball.com. Go into the website, go into series link in their podcast link, and you'll get all the previous Off the Bench podcasts there. And as I say, we cover everything, not just Gaelic football, but it crops up in our conversations all the time. We'd like to thank everybody who's been here. We'd like to thank Paul for producing over here. And obviously, we also like to thank Lidl. Again, remember that this is a new thing they have this year, with six packs of this new Carrickglen water, 10 cents on every time you buy one of those, is going back to the fund. And your club, if you nominate it for gear and equipment, they can benefit from that too in each county. So it's important to keep that going. We thank the LGFA staff, particularly Jackie Cahill, who's here with us, Aisling and Karen as well. Thanks very much. Karen's my timekeeper over there. I always go over time. And as we always say down the country, thanks to Lidl for the use of the hall. This especially, we want to thank the audience, because we have never done a live Off the Bench before. We've never had real live people listening to us and never had audience participation before. So I think pretty much that deserves a round of applause. Thanks, everybody, for coming. Until the next time on Off the Bench, enjoy your sport and take care.